South End these days is crawling with newcomers who work uptown and want to rent for a bit before settling down in another part of town. Take Chris Hagen, who just landed in South End from Chicago.
You know, the main reason is the light rail, but the nightlife and the restaurants and everything are really good around here, too, so I think it's got a lot to offer.
Like the food trucks that gather in an empty lot every Friday night. Hagen's dog tugs on a leash as hundreds of people line up around them and sprawl on blankets in the dirt like it's Central Park, eating burgers, grilled cheese sandwiches, and cupcakes.
Can I have a red velvet brownie and a banana split cupcake, please?
There's barely any visible vestige of the vacant barbed wire wasteland South End used to be. When the first train arrived in Charlotte in 1852, it came here. Up sprang cotton mills, and then neighborhoods called Dilworth and Wilmore sprouted on either side of the rail corridor to house the mill workers. South End was the city's first industrial park, but eventually the mills moved to cheaper land or overseas. And by the early 1980s, South End was deserted, decrepit, and dangerous. That's when this guy...
I'm Gaines Brown.
...set up shop in South End.
Exhibit design is what I do for a career.
Part hippie, part party planner, Brown bought a cluster of properties in the heart of South End and started renting cheap space to artists, filmmakers, mom-and-pop shops, and they held street parties.
My primary objective was to have people come visit and feel safe enough to come back.
Come back for what?
For whatever. For more of it.
It's all about the vibe with this guy.
Right on.
But Brown and a few others, including a real estate developer named Tony Presley, knew they needed more than bohemian subculture to bring South End to life. Presley went to work turning the district's old mill warehouses into a hub of furniture and design showrooms. Brown thought the clang-clang of an historic trolley was the ticket. So in the mid-90s, a group of volunteers got one of the city's original trolley cars from the 1930s and started running it down South End's virtually abandoned train tracks. And people came.
So it became the zipper between Dilworth and Wilmore, you know, and at one time it was the barrier, you know, like the other side of the tracks. And then all of a sudden it became the magnet. And to me, that's like, it doesn't get much better than that, you know?
Except they had a problem. South End didn't even have a name. It had always just been that place down on South Boulevard, and that simply would not do for Charlotte's next hip enclave. So a branding and design firm called Shook Kelly, which had also moved into the neighborhood, came up with the grand-sounding Historic South End.
Yeah, we did. That was tongue-in-cheek.
This is Terry Shook.
Because the truth is about Charlotte in general, South End in particular, there's very little here that's historic.
And let's face it. The city's earned a reputation for bulldozing historic buildings and reinventing itself as a new South city.
Charlotte's always been about boosterism, about, you know, inflating reality. So we thought it was a tongue-in-cheek nod to that history of Charlotte.
But the name didn't stick until Shook's firm convinced a California businessman to open a beer and barbecue place at Atherton Mill, call it South End Brewery, and paint South End on the smokestack.
No one knew really what South End was as a district, but if this cool restaurant came out of it, would people know it then, right? And that's when the trolley just ran almost like a, instead of a merry-go-round, it was like a merry-go-straight. It just went back and forth. School kids came by the busloads. I mean, in the early days, it was a riot, really.
People were coming to check out Atherton Mill, but the rest of South End was still pretty hit or miss. Summit Properties, now part of Camden Property Trust, was the first to take a chance on putting apartments in South End. This was in the late 90s. And Camden's Holly Casper says it really didn't have much to do with the vibe of the place.
The reason we built there was because there was not a lot of residential in the uptown area at that time. And they felt that this was a great location because we were very easily accessed to 77, walkability to uptown, close to the hospital.
Proximity to uptown and plentiful parking also made South End attractive to Charlotte Magazine when it signed on as one of the first tenants of the design center. Here's editor Rick Thurmond.
You know, also as a city magazine, we like the idea of being kind of in the action, in a district that was up and coming. That felt important to us.
Many things in Charlotte are top down.
Terry Shook again.
South End was bottom up. Volunteers, people like ourselves and Gaines and Tony Presley and Kevin Kelly, my partner, and others that just said, you know what, we can make this thing happen.
But by the late 90s, that same group did something quintessential Charlotte. They agreed to an extra tax on property in the South End, about 6 cents per $100 of assessed value. And they used that money to promote the district. Over time, the tax has steadily grown from $185,000 collected that first year back in 2000 to nearly $800,000 last year. To the chagrin of some South Enders, the management of those tax revenues has since been turned over to the ultimate booster group, Charlotte Center City Partners, which was created to promote Uptown. The money pays for banners and park benches and slick brochures and neighborhood events. But nothing compared to what this would do for South End. When light rail arrived in 2007, it muscled the historic trolley off the tracks and brought a wave of new development. Property values doubled and then tumbled as the recession hit. Bulldozed lots lay fallow until suddenly, in just the last 6 months, there's so much new construction in South End, it's hard to tell where one project ends and the next begins, which is wonderful and worrisome to Terry Shook.
My fear is that if everyone rushes in here and does large, mediocre projects, the attractiveness and the gritty allure of South End that was here from the beginning will be lost.
The South End pioneers who coaxed this place from a nameless industrial wasteland into a thriving neighborhood are now pushing the city to develop zoning rules for builders that will prevent South End from becoming a different kind of wasteland. A place where short-time renters live in fortress-like complexes, and the only action on the streets of South End is the whistle of the light rail whisking people away. For WFAE News, I'm Julie Rose in historic South End.